Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Oh, another edition of the Let's Go Ricky Roll podcast. Beto Duran, Ricky Romero, Josh Tolley, and it's a week after Thanksgiving. It's our first show of December, winding down the year. Before we get to Ricky, Tolley, what's up with the gray, man? You're looking smooth.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray going. A lot of stress in my life with these kids running around. You know that. You should know that better than anybody. You got older ones.
Yeah, but Mike, it's like the podcast we started this year with you. You were clean, baby looking. Like, I'm ready to play. Now you look like the grizzled, like, salty vet coach who's like been on the buses for 30 years.
It's hunting season.
It's also cold out there, man. They need that extra fur.
Yeah, you need the extra fur. Yeah, that's true, Rick. You're dang right. Oh. Yeah, it's great to be back.
Yeah, we missed you totally. People always ask when you're going to be on the show, and it's become such a funny bit that on Instagram when they send me a message like, oh, Tolley wasn't here. Was he on the roof? Was he in a chimney? Was he hunting? Or was he with the old people? And I didn't understand the old people one, but I forgot you were at fantasy camp.
Yeah, which was freaking awesome. That was great. How Rick, great was that?
Rick, you've done fantasy camp, right?
We did. Yeah, unfortunately, it's not being done anymore. But yeah, I was part of three of them, and they're fun, man. I mean, when you get to see the fans, fans who are big time fans who pay to come to these events and play games. I mean, the kicker is though, JT, you know this. It really isn't easy because these dudes are playing like two games a day. In cleats, they're not used to doing that, you know, and they're long games, long days, and shoot, I mean, it's tough for us to be in cleats for nine innings. Can you imagine guys who are not used to being in cleats for nine innings and they have to do it two times a day? It's crazy.
Dude, these dudes play like 60 innings in a week.
No,
yeah. I apologize, not a week. I had that wrong. Monday to Friday.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was just go for the weekend and you play a couple games and that's it.
It gets serious, man. You got rings.
But these guys are like in their 40s and 50s, right?
Some older.
Yeah. We had a guy in the 70s. I don't know. I'm going to have to get permission to show you this video. Or should I just show it to you?
No, don't. You're getting in trouble.
No. It's one of the guys catching and it's hilarious.
Don't do that.
All right, I wouldn't do it. We called him the skeleton. He was like 70 years old and just grinding it out back.
Wait,
there.
He was 70 in catching?
Hey, yeah.
Josh, did you guys have a training room? Isn't it funny as shit to see everyone?
Hey, I was actually going to try to snap a photo of the line like the third morning. The line was from at the Mets complex was a whole row of lockers in line just to get onto a table. And then 30 minutes of work. Guys are getting there at like 6 to get treatment.
Yeah. You've never smelled more Icy Hot Bengay, Tiger Bomb than these dudes put on, man. It's a grind. And again, you can tell the first like 2 days they're super excited. It really hasn't really kicked in yet. And then by middle of the week, man, they're just
Hey, how about the hot and cold tubs? You could not pay me to sit in those things.
No chance.
Whoa, they do that too?
No. Oh, yeah. And like, they'll load them up. There'll be eight dudes at a time in those things.
It's pretty much they get a big league treatment. A little bit of what it's like to be a big leaguer. You know, they get big league uniforms, pretty nice spreads. And yeah, hot tub, cold tub, trainers, all that shit, man. They get it all and they get a little bit of a taste.
Wait, is it? Wait, is this one where you talk about where you go to dinner and you were like with George Bell and Barfield and all these guys talking?
Yeah,
players get to hang out with you guys too?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh really?
I mean, some of these dudes are, and I'm sure Josh would attest to this. Some of these dudes are like really, really successful people in life.
Oh.
Like they come from like wealthy like business owners to like lawyers to like, dude, you meet all kinds of people at those places. And actually it's a good networking place where you get to network and strike friendships with these guys.
So you do. And it is interesting. I actually spoke with a guy last night for 45 minutes who was at fantasy camp, who's a retired NYPD guy. And I have to tell you, like, it seems crazy, but it was so awesome to like build those relationships. I was at Rockaway Beach last week Friday, and I was texting the guys, and they all live close by. They're like, next time you come down into the city, I'll take you out to dinner. We'll go do this. To me, that's the cool part of it, is networking. And listen, hey, we had freaking guys that were hedge fund guys. We had billionaires. We had freaking construction workers. I mean, the list is successful guys doing a lot of successful things. It was really cool to see. And the passion they have, Rick, is insane. Hey, you know what? Now, while we're on this, you think we should just start a Blue Jays one? See if we can rent it out from Billy Warlord?
We should, man.
Warlord?
Billy Warlow.
Yeah, Billy Warlow.
Dude, it would be awesome. I mean, shoot, it, I'm sure it's a lot of work. I don't know what it would take, but it is.
Take like, anything.
I've talked to a few people who were part of it with the Blue Jays ones that I was a part of, and they miss it, man. They want to see how is it possible to bring it back. Shoot, I wouldn't even know where to start on that. But you know, again, Beto, these are successful people, but obviously, it's not something that's pretty cheap.
Yeah, I just think what you're saying, because see, I'm thinking I've heard of these fantasy camps before, but I never would have thought. But I didn't know you get a whole week and uniform and spread like that. That's got to be at least $5,000-$6,000 or something like that.
Hey, no, but the best part, I don't know how it was for Josh, but it's when you're sitting in the clubhouse with some of the old timers, dude, and they're just fucking going off on stories. Like, our clubhouse was George Bell, Cito Gaston, Dwayne Ward. Just a bunch of old dudes, and they're just going off telling stories about their time, you know, and it's to me, I just sat there quietly and just listened.
So we had a locker that was designated to Joe Boo, which is where all the booze went. So all the liquor went into that locker. And after every day, we would sit around in a circle around the locker, and same thing, like, listen to Ron Swoboda tell stories, Mookie Wilson, Doc. Like, it's the same exact thing, is sitting around telling stories. Next thing you know, you got in at 4:30 in the afternoon from your last game, and you're sitting there just hammering away, telling stories, and all of a sudden you realize you have a 7 o'clock dinner.
Wait.
And guys are, like, scurrying to shower and get out of there just to get to dinner, right?
That's the best part, man. Honestly, that's the best. Nothing beats that. I shared some of this, not like in detail what goes on, but like, you know, just like the storytelling and all that stuff. That's that. I mean, you would agree too, Josh. That's what you miss about being in uniform, and I think that it gives you that like that passion back. And and being able to be around guys, storytelling, the world of baseball is amazing, and the stories that you're able to tell and all the shit that, I mean, some of these dudes like played in the big leagues for 15, 20 years and they have just so many stories, and it just seems like they never forget, you know, they never forget where fucking 1979 and 1978 type stories, and you're just like, what the hell, you know, 1980s and the 90s when the Blue Jays were successful and all that.
Is that where you were with Fred McGriff?
No, McGriff wasn't a part of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
crime dog.
But just being it sounds like you guys, the players, get a lot out of it too compared to just the campers, because you get that week of that camaraderie.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
I probably got more out of it, to be honest with you.
Huh?
I really did.
That's cool. That's cool. And
it's cool, man. It's cool. It's cool from being around a lot of successful people and then being in front of legends, you know, that you grew up watching or, you know, and stuff like that. Like for me, George Bell is the first one that comes to mind, and he's just, dude, he's funny as shit. And I fuck with him so much. And it's just one of those things where, you know, we to this day, we always keep in touch, and he's always talking shit to me. And yeah, just a good dude. Just everything's cool, man. Everything about that week is cool. And shoot, Josh, if we're able to bring that back one day with the Jays, that would be sick.
That's what Derek, who's watching right now, says. Because do you know if the Jays fantasy camp will ever happen again? Well, who knows? Never say never.
Yeah, I truly don't know.
Know, so like the Reds, for example, aren't affiliated with the Reds. They run it as the Reds camp. I'm sure there's some sort of revenue stream for them or a split of some sort. But it's done by an outside entity, does it?
Huh.
I mean, hell, we could easily do that.
All right, so there it is, the Josh Tolley experience. We're going to go to his farm, and we're going to go hang out, and you're going to have dorms inside the barn, and we'll be ready to go. Let's do that.
And you guys will never leave if you come up here.
Yeah, okay. You don't have country. You don't have God's tortillas. Country, there's baby. No tortillas up there, bro. I'm leaving quick.
Yeah, we have Las Chicas and Ernesto's. It's good.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, next week I'm coming in with my lunch, and you're going to see the outstanding Mexican food that we have here.
I don't doubt it. Hey, because Mexicans are everywhere, man. I do not doubt that there's some good Mexican food up there, but you're telling guys are in L.A. This past weekend, you would have loved it. We had the Ricky Romero second annual baseball camp in East Los Angeles where Ricky grew up. And the most important thing, Tolley, was the fact that Ricky put in an order for tamales. Like
I saw.
The kids were there, all that other stuff. Once the tamale showed up, Ricky was a kid in a candy store. He's like, hell yeah.
And I was mad. The plan was they brought like pan dulce, which is like sweet bread from one of my favorite bread making store in East LA. Shout out to Razo who did all that work. And he brought tamales from East LA. And the whole plan was that we were going to get there early, shoot the shit, eat. But we didn't have keys to enter the facility, so there was no way of eating it. So I felt a little bit rushed in eating my shit. So next time, clean that shit up, Beth.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, so clean it up. Hey, it's our second annual. We're learning how to do this. So give you guys the background of it, of what's going on. So in our group chat that we want Tolley to be involved with, but he can't because he only answers every 4 days. So that's why he's not in. It's a bunch of guys that just go back and forth. And a few years ago, we said, Ricky always said, it would be nice to do a camp in East LA where I grew up. And he's like, I don't know how it does. I don't know how to do this, all logistics. In our group chat, we have people who do everything. And I would say I'm the ringleader coordinating things because, you know, I talk to everybody. I'm like, you totally. It'd be like if you were trying to do a camp in Owego, New York, right, or in Illinois. You know people. You make things happen. So yeah, I said, let's go. We got the ball rolling. We did it a couple years ago at high school. Had no idea what we were doing. Successful. This year we did it again, and the gist behind it is we take 50 kids from the East Los Angeles area where Ricky grew up, and they have to apply. They apply by giving us their GPA, and they write a paragraph why I should go to the camp. We don't ask the coaches, hey, send us your studs. We don't do any of that. We just have a requirement that you fill out the paperwork. You show your responsibility about that. And the committee goes and reads through it. Hey, I like this kid's answer. And then some answers are not that good, so we get eliminated. We had over 100 kids apply. Totally, you'll like this one. One of the reasons that I should go, the paragraph said, because I'm a stud.
All right, bring it on, kid. Let's see what you got.
Yeah, he didn't make the process.
I would say not. Yeah. I would say not.
But on the flip side, go ahead.
Let's rewind a little bit. The reason we're not, in as much as we would like to, Beto, take 100 kids, it's just – the facilities, obviously the capacity, all the restrictions that are going on right now, we just can't do it. Obviously the goal of ours is to make it grow to where maybe we turn it into a 2-day camp. But as of right now, obviously a lot of kids are like, well, why didn't I get chosen, or what's going on, or how can I get in? And it's like, it's not really nothing against some of the kids. It's just, there's a capacity, and that's why we weren't able to take every single one of them.
Yeah, and it's also it's not like we're going and recruiting like the best kids in the area. It's more of give them an opportunity, instruction. So we take kids that are in the varsity area. We figure things out. We look through it, and we do a little research on them. So it's pretty cool, and we just want to get the kids that appreciate it. Because, you know, when you do something for free, totally, sometimes people ask for a little bit too much. But every single kid there appreciated. We also taught them the responsibility. It's like, okay, when you apply, here's the deadline. We started getting parents like, oh, my son applied late. Like, oh, sorry.
You're out.
Teach responsibility. And we had an RSVP. You had a RSVP by a certain deadline. Some kids didn't RSVP. And because they didn't, we took other kids who did. So, yeah. And we explained to them the first hour, like the responsibility, what you have to do. It was cool. And Ricky brought a Jordan Aboitis, who's a grad assistant at Long Beach State, who you play with in Tijuana. He runs the camp. It's just so many different moving pieces. And it was so fluid, totally. It was like, wow, we really pulled this off. Let me give you guys a background before. And I work at CBS2 here in Los Angeles, and I was able to bring out the cameras. And this feature ran on Channel 2 yesterday.
Former Major League pitcher Ricky Romero teamed up with current and former pros to host his second annual baseball camp last Sunday at East LA College, where 50 high school kids received free instruction. Here's a look back at the camp and how Romero brought it all together.
It's always been a dream of mine to be able to do this. I didn't think it was possible. But it all started in a group chat, and here we are. We're hosting our second annual camp. It's a great turnout, great weather. Coming back here just brings a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions. But I still remember coming here as a young kid. You know, my dad used to play Sunday League, and this place did not look like this. The community here doesn't have enough of baseball support as it should have. I think the best part about this camp is that it's free. I have tremendous friends that have been able to put this together.
Pick up the pace. On the next one, we're going back pedal. Feels great. Feels great giving back. You know, baseball's giving me a lot. Buddies with Ricky, so to be able to come back and give back is a great feeling always, to be able to do that through the sport. So it's good. It's good. Next one, all right?
It's the least I can do for, you know, kids that I want to set the example for the next generation of their youth. You know, for their kids to be able to come back and them come back and do the same thing. So when we were driving in here today, me and my little one, I remember coming out here growing up in West Covina, just brought back so many memories of at that age and a little bit younger of, okay, this is what I should be doing.
No one really gave me instructions when I was a kid their age. So just have someone pick their brain a little bit, being out here, if they have questions, I'm here, you know, just to be a role model to these kids.
I can't stop smiling. You know, honestly, inside me, I have so many emotions. And I know what it's like to grow up in this area, you know, and nobody's gonna come here and pay $150 for one day. It's more just, hey, I wanna inspire, that's it. And if I inspire, then I've done my job.
Ricky Romero, such a great guy while he was playing ball, and it's good to see he's still doing big things in the community.
Yeah, love to see what they're doing.
There it is. That's the feature I ran on CBS. It's going to run again this Sunday, longer form. It's actually going to be the hometown hero. Ricky's going to be nominated for that.
All right.
Yeah, so it's really cool. So that was the feature. So that was it, man. It's like little chills. I got there. Like, you know, I helped bring the camera out there, and I actually interviewed Ricky about it, but just rewatching it, like chills, man. It's just so cool to be involved with something like that, man.
You know what's cool about it? It's obviously hosting that is amazing and seeing the kids' faces. But, you know, some of these kids really, to be honest, Josh, probably don't know who I am. But to see their faces when a Noe Ramirez walks in, when a Jesse Chavez walks in, when J.P. Crawford walks in, you can just tell the whole place is like you know, you picture yourself as a young kid and you meet a big leaguer for the first time. Like, you're so giddy and you're so happy, and you can just tell when J.P. Crawford, because he came in a little late, and shout out to him for coming out and helping us. You can just tell the whole place lit up even more. And one of the cool stories about it is we were doing the pitching station, and you know, that Alan Trejo from the Colorado Rockies and J.P. Crawford were running the infield area, and we were kind of winding down on the pitching area, and they were watching J.P. Take ground balls, and this kid goes, he's like, wow, man, like, how does he make it look so easy? Just the like how amazed they were by what these guys are able to do. Obviously, you know, and it's special. And I turned around to the kid and I was like, all he's doing is slowing the game down. And he kind of looked at me like, what? I was like, yeah, that's all he's doing. It looks fast, but I guarantee, like, he's talking as he's doing it. So obviously he's slowing it down. He's like saying, all right, this is how you do this. You're setting your feet. You grip, you put your glove right here. And then you turn the double play. You feed it like this. But the way he was doing it was so smooth. And these guys were just in awe of that. And that to me was like one of the memories that kind of pops into mind from this weekend.
I had followed it a little bit on the Instagram and stuff, but it's amazing to me. I had no idea that it was the format that you use, right? 150 applicants, 50 get picked. To me, I think that's what sets the standard, because as I see, because I am in this youth space a little bit right now, and there are a lot of people out here for money grabs. Mm-hmm. So for you to be able to do that, number one, and number two, it's like the right guidance, and it's no knock on anybody else, but you know what it looks like. Chavi yeah. knows what it looks like. That group has been there and done it. So yeah. you're giving them free advice, which parents in today would pay an arm and a leg. You could go run another, you could go run another camp for the other 100 kids that didn't make it, or how many ever kids, and charge them $50 and you'll have 500 applicants. Yeah. Like, people will do it. And for you to do it just to like pass, as Chavi said, to like pass on to the next generation, because that's, we've talked about it 1,000 times on this show, is that's what's missing in today's game, is like, we need to get back to the pastime of the game. I think it's huge.
And honestly, having coach George Horton, coach Ray Vanderhoek, who were the coaches at Fullerton when I was there, Horton was the head guy and Hookie was the hitting coach and then eventually took over. Having those two guys come out and talk, you know, they grew up in that area, similar. Coach Horton coached at Cerritos Junior College, which isn't too far. To have them come out and be supportive and shoot a bunch of ideas at me about how to make this grow, left me just like in awe and just thinking like, okay, what's our next move? Yeah. Like, as soon as this camp wrapped up, I texted Beto, what's our next move? How do we do this? How do we get these guys exposure? Because the inner city right now, Josh, honestly, it's being forgotten. They're really, if you're not paying top dollar to be in the top showcases in the country,
yeah,
you're screwed. Yeah. That pretty much. Nobody's watching you. And these coaches, Hookie and Horton, were like, dude, there's a ton of D1 talent here, but it's impossible for us D1 coaches to come watch these guys during the week when we're in season. It's just not possible. So if you're not attending a top showcase,
like the perfect game and all that other stuff, which costs a couple thousand to go,
inner city kid, you know, does not know about a showcase. Who's going to pay? I don't know what it costs to go to those showcases. I don't even
want one day. I think one day or one weekend you get a show. Only because I know I'm dealing with this right now. Perfect game, I think, is $7.95 or something like that to get your numbers and then play a game.
Yep.
$7.95, boys.
That's the entry fee, not alone hotel and travel and everything else.
Exactly.
But
right.
It also, so yeah, you're right. We had this and, you know, you have instructions, and some of these kids, I was walking around just taking pictures, and one of the kids like, is that all you guys do? All we did totally was teach them fundamentals. It was, you go to the infield, you learn fundamentals, outfield, fundamentals, hitting, fundamentals. It was no game, no, what kids are we going to hit? Like, no, just take fundamentals. And J.P. Crawford said to one of the kids, we do this every day. Yeah. The cone, the drill, that's it. Basic fundamentals. And the kid's like, really?
That's why I said at the end of my speech, I was like, if you guys think this is boring, this is what big leaguers do in spring training, early work during season. Yeah. It just never stops. And that's why these guys perfected at a level that, you know, you only see in the big leagues. And that's why, and you can tell, who said it best, Jesse Chavez. He came up to me and he's like, you know what the best part is, dude? The best part about this is that none of these kids have egos. They're all so locked in on you when you're talking to them.
Yeah.
And I was like, bam, that's the type of kids that I want. You know, I don't want kids that are like, oh, well, my coach came out and said, my coach said, you don't do it like that. Or no, that's not the way I do it. Like, everyone was just like this, like just looking up, like,
nah. We got some good kids. We got some real good kids.
That's because you vetted them. Because you vetted them. Like, that's the nature of it.
Yeah. And it wasn't like we said, okay, coach, you give me your best kids. Give me your best guys. It was like, no, coaches, here are the applications. We didn't take anybody's consultation. I'm like we had a couple were like, hey, what about this kid? But like, he didn't apply. We're not going to put him in. They're like, oh, he's great. He could be one of the potential ones. Like, well, if he didn't have the time to apply for us, then
we haven't got the time to apply for. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, so it's interesting, and to that model, and I've done this with the 10, my oldest son's travel team that I'm helping with, is it started off as like 8 players. Now all of a sudden everybody wants to play and we have 19 players, right?
Oh.
And the model is to take each, let's say a kid's a D player, make him a C player. Make the C players a B player, B players an A player, A plus players. And I think that's kind of like what you're doing, is like, you don't have to be a stud to come to this camp.
Nope.
We're going to get you better. And if you're a C player, we're going to get you, when you leave, you're going to have more knowledge and you're going to understand and you're going to be able to practice to get yourself to be a B player.
Yeah.
And that's the name of the game, dude, right now.
That's the one thing Coach Horton said in his speech. He said, go home or, you know, right after this camp is done, write down 3, 4, 5 things that you learn and that you want to perfect. And trust me, if you do that and you really shoot for those goals, you'll attain them. And then he obviously told some stories about what with me and stuff, like the hills that I had to climb to get to where I was at Cal State Fullerton. So, I mean, to me, the application part is best, Josh, just because it teaches them a little bit of discipline and, hey, if you want to go to college, this is the type of shit that you got to do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to steal that with some of my high school catchers that I do. I'm just going to make them do that. Maybe a winner gets a month of lessons free. Something. Just for doing it. Dude, this is talking to Beto yesterday. We were texting back and forth. It has opened my eyes and it's just like, yeah, it's bigger than that, you know?
Yeah. And the cool thing is it's parents were there and we talked to them also. So the first hour they get instruction for our good friend, Dr. Hadigui, who used to work at USC. He's the one who tells the athletes how to stay eligible, how to get into college. And these kids were the first hour is like, okay, who wants to go to play in college? All the hands go up. Who knows about financial aid and the NCAA clearinghouse? No hands go up. And he's like, here's the paper. He hands out the paperwork. Here's how you guys fill this out. Here's how you do that. And it's just like one kid I talked to on the side was like, dude, like, what do you want to do? He's like, oh, I want to be an engineer. I want to go to Wake Forest, Georgia Tech. I'm like, I looked at his GPA because I looked it up. He has a 4.2. Grade wise, he can go there. Athletic wise, he's not there. And I even told him, like, would you be willing to go somewhere smaller? Like, have you ever heard of Carnegie Mellon? Have you ever heard of some other schools? He's like, no. I'm like, you ever heard of Caltech? He's like, yeah. Do they have baseball? I'm like, this kid wants to be a rocket scientist. Like use that there. Then he gave me there's no money for financial aid. I'm like, dude, if you need something for college application, I'll give you the $80 right now. Like, don't ever let anything stop you from going there. And that was part of what it is. And that's what makes it awesome, man.
Yeah. And these kids, I mean, I had a ton of kids asking questions and actually being interactive. And that's what you want out of this camp, you know. And I said, you know, look at all the talent that's behind me. Like, these guys are here for you guys. We're volunteering our time. We're not charging you any money. Ask away. And honestly, the team that we assembled this year was unreal, man. Yeah. Like, I'm still in awe of everything that we accomplished. And I know I've gone back and forth with you, Beto, I feel like this is only the beginning. Making it expand a little bit more and getting these kids some exposure, some, D1, junior college, NAIA, D2, whatever it is, but just getting them out of here. And I just, Coach Horton and Hookie were like amazed by one or two of the players. They're like, whoa, this guy can play for me if I was still coaching. And I'm like, shoot, I need more. I need real, these guys are tired. I was like, I need these D1 schools here. Then if these guys are saying it, I need the D1 schools with eyes on this kid.
Yeah.
Like, so our plan is to obviously you know, host some type of game and kind of make it a bit of an event in LA and the community. So
yeah. Yep. Let me show you some skipper.
Let me know if you need a skipper.
Actually, yeah.
We do.
So we do. The plan is now, dude, I swear, if people like, all right, I'm gonna say this. The wives ain't watching. Look, the wives that hate the group chat because we're always on it laughing and throwing a bunch of bullshit, right? But the good thing came out of it, and now we're planning an all-star game in the works for it after the high school season, the Ricky Romero East LA All-Star Classic. And Coach Horton and Vanderhook, the Cal State Fullerton legends, are going to coach it. And we're going to try to get former players, guys who are around, to be the assistants, to help out, stuff like that.
We'll give you a team.
Yeah.
You just tell me. I mean, I would love to be part of something like that. I really would. This is my passion. This is where I have entrenched myself in the last 24 months.
Yeah.
And like, I can't get my head out of it. It is something that watching these kids be left behind because of those things. Exactly. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They're paying $3,000 for this league and $5,000 for this and $7,000 for this. It's like, it's tough.
That's why, when I heard Coach say that about a specific player, I was like, oh my God, like we're doing a disservice now. Like we got to get these wheels going so that these guys get the exposure and not miss out on a opportunity of a lifetime.
I
want to see big leaguers, you know, out of that area.
I want to see them just go to college, man. If you have a 4.0, apply to Harvard, Yale, whatever. But I would say of those, maybe 5 kids play legit travel ball of the 50 we took. That are out there doing it. But let me show you some pictures, Tully. So if you look at the blue, those are all the campers. Everybody in red is a coach that brought out there. Guys either played currently or former pros. Here we're going to see Alan Trejo, who's been on the podcast, Rockies, played at San Diego State. So pretty good dude. Let's see here. Ricky getting interviewed by me. So, you know, I had to throw myself in there a little bit. You know, why not? You know, a little bit. Look at that. Look at that setup right there. Nice little CBS. Yep. JP Crawford, who was just going to be there for real quick. He was going to do maybe an hour. He stayed the entire time at the camp. As he said to me, this is really cool because it's not just a show and go. You're actually helping these kids making an impact. Like, and I think
I love how interactive. I mean, when you have two big leaguers running the infield station, dude, how doesn't get too much better than that. I mean, you got Alan Trejo on the left side and you got JP on the right side, and they're just so interactive and very. I went out because I was kind of floating around. I went up to that station and just how interactive they were with the kids was, dude, these kids were, and that's something that they'll take with themselves. Like, they'll take that forever, you know, and remember that moment. And again, it's all about paying back. You know, we hope we see some successful kids, and one day they're able to say, like, man, because of JP Crawford, you know, at the Ricky Romero baseball camp, I was able to do this or accomplish this. So all that good stuff. There you see Noe Ramirez, too, out of Ramona Gardens, coming out and helping out. And he was very interactive, too. And dude, it honestly, there's so much gratitude and so much happiness going all around, and then the way these guys went about their business, and it's freaking awesome.
Like, so who'd you work out with yesterday? Oh, World Series champion Jesse Chavez. My bad. You know, like,
the best part. Hey, we did a giveaway at the end, totally, and we give a bunch of prizes. Jesse just left his glove there and said, "Here you go." Let somebody with glove. You know, and everyone,
like, Major League Baseball would love to have that to raffle it off in their auction site.
He's like, here's my glove. Hey guys.
Yeah. He's like, all right, man. All right, I'll see you later, Rick. Thank you. I'll leave my glove here. You guys auction it off. Or we didn't even auction because we're not making money off it. We just raffled it off. And I was like, all right. And I'm like, dude, I hope whoever wins this realizes that this is big league leather. You just don't get this leather at Chicks, you know, or Dicks, or whatever it is.
Dicks.
Chicks used to be. Remember that store, Beth?
Yeah, Chicks.
Yeah. Okay, it's Dicks. Yeah,
okay.
Chicks Sporting Goods. You don't have one?
Yeah. No.
Anyway,
no, we have Dicks Sporting Goods.
Yeah. It was good, and then we also. So most everybody got something. We had raffles. a lot of cool different things. Blue Jays, great job by the Blue Jays, sending Bo Bichette, Vladdy Guerrero, real memorabilia. We had a bunch of different cool things out there. We had a Johan Santana painting. We had one of those.
You're an asshole. Hey, still waiting for it.
Shout out to Albert Pujols. He sent a nice jersey. Yeah. With it's. I always find it fascinating when these dudes autograph a jersey and then they write all their accolades on it, like 12-time All Star, 3,000 hits. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. You have 3,000 at bats.
Yeah, totally. We got to get you a shirt and a hat. We'll send it out to you for Christmas. A little stocking stuffer.
Yeah.
So we'll send that out.
Great. See if there's any whiskey left, I'll take some of that too.
Okay, yeah. Well, we can send a little care package to you. We'll definitely do that.
Beto has all those connections, dude. Whatever you need.
The mayor.
He's got you.
Yeah. We got you. So that'll be it. So that's pretty cool. That was a recap of the camp. So if you guys want more information, go to the Ricky Romero Baseball Camp Instagram. Ricky Romero Baseball Camp is the Instagram that has everything. And hey, our group chat, Ace of SoCal, showed up. He was there. Everybody was involved. He did a great job running the account. So everybody was behind it. And I kid you not, totally, as Ricky is on the field giving instruction, we had a Ricky Romero Foundation board meeting inside the dugout.
God.
We created the Ricky Romero Foundation board in the dugout. We're like, okay, we have enough people here. We have a quorum. Yeah, somebody take minutes. John, who's one of Ricky's friends that he golfs with, is now running the paperwork to get the foundation going and nonprofit. He's like, well, I think somebody can charge. I'm like, no, we want it all free, John. Make it happen all free. This is for the kids.
Yeah, for the kids, yeah. Yeah, nobody paying anything, including Ricky. Right.
Exactly. No. I will say this. Ricky won't say it, but every single dollar spent on the camp this past weekend came out of Ricky's pocket. We got some donations. Our good friend Ruben Polanco made a donation. Our senior Hernandez from Action Cleanup made a donation, but the rest of it was out of Ricky's pocket. And I mean, we're not going to tell the kids that, but it's awesome, Rick, what you did. And the cool thing was also your family was there, like your mom, your dad, the kid. Oh, your dad didn't show, but he probably had his own game. But the kids were there, and it's like seeing your mom's face, Rick, dude. I don't think you noticed it, but man. That was really cool.
It's cool. It's cool. I think, again, what I did, I lived it, at a level that was unbelievable out of that area. The odds were against me, but I have a chance to make these guys or make these kids believe that it is possible. And I think one of the coolest parts was what Cesar Ramos said at the end, Beto. He said, hey, guys, because we went all around saying for the guys to say something. And he said, hey, just remember, we were all of us right here that are standing in red shirts were in your shoes at one point. Mm. And look at us. We did it. We made it. And if we made it, it's possible for you guys to make it. And I thought that was freaking cool. Wow. You know, Caesar's not a man of many words. Mm-mm. He's pretty quiet and, he keeps to himself. But when he said that, I was like, whoa, it's true. It's true. And we wish. I remember meeting Caesar at a Dodger Elite little showcase, that they used to do for inner city kids. And I wish when we were that age, we were having this type of stuff, and so for him to say that and for those kids, I feel like the whole place kind of went a little quiet. And yeah, they're okay. Like, yeah. And Jesse Chavez followed up on that. And he's like, it's true. We were all there. We were all in those shoes at one point, and we were wondering what was our next step, and look at us now.
Yeah, so really cool. All right, let's move on real forward as we wrap it up. All right, there's some ridiculous money in baseball being thrown around, Tolly. If you're a pitcher right now, holy smokes, what are your Mets doing?
I don't. Well, they're going to try to make a run for this thing. I guess the new ownership group has all the open has the open checkbook, so I'm not surprised by the money. I do believe that there's a ploy with the new CBA coming down the pipe and using it for leverage and negotiating tactics and all of that. But outrageous numbers. I mean, Jesus. What Scherzer's deal was, 45 or 44 or something? Ridiculous.
What do you do?
At like 37 years old.
Crazy. 37?
Or 36, whatever now, it is.
Yeah, he's probably 36.
Yeah, he'll turn 37 during the season. So but that's ridiculous, the amount of money. I mean, everybody always says it every single year. Oh, it's crazy, the amount being thrown. But to a pitcher at that age?
Yeah, but listen, I'd rather have the players get it than all the owners.
Oh, yeah.
The
owners, without get paid.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Is like this is always my argument, right, is who is the entertainment, right? The players are the entertainment. They should get compensated fair. And fair is relative when you start talking about what the whole economics of baseball looks like. And the economics of baseball is ridiculous right now. I mean, hell, I honestly, 4 or 5 years ago, it was a $13-14 billion industry. So just imagine what it is now, you know? Yeah. So the players deserve to be paid. 43 is a lot, but I don't mind the short-term deals. I mean, they're on the hook for 130. Yeah. They're on the hook for 130. If something happens to Max, you eat 86 million and move along with your life.
So he is 37 years old. It's a 3-year 130. Here are the details of it. 200,000 if he's the MVP. 200,000 if he wins the Cy Young. If he wins a World Series MVP, another 150,000. All kinds of different bonuses. But he also gets 4 premium tickets to each home game. Really?
I'm sure that was the kicker.
Yeah, that's what really held it down, right?
Yeah, that and the suite on the road.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, good for
you. Oh, hey, but it's true what Josh is saying. Hey, I mean,
good for you guys.
If it's out, get it and shoot. Who cares what anybody says? I like the what the Jays have done too. I mean, they went they're spending some money. You know, they went and got Kevin Gausman and obviously re-signed Berrios to a big-time long-term extension. So I think they see the future. They see what they have, obviously, in Vladdy, Bo, Hernandez, and all the young cats on that team, George Springer. So that's what you want, man, as a fan base. That's you want your team spending money and bringing guys in, and you're trying to win. So what I'm curious to see, though, and I'm sure our L.A. friends are too, is what the Dodgers do, because obviously Seager's leaving, or Seager left, and in a lucrative deal, and you just have to wonder what if that, you know, they've won for such a long time and they've been the dominant team in the NL West. You have to wonder if that window is slowly closing. If it's like, all right, we have to kind of restart everything. I know they're a rich team, they have a lot of money, but I wonder if it's, you know, if
hey. Daniel Hudson, bro. Daniel Hudson jerseys are coming.
Well, Rick, I don't disagree with you. I do. I often think maybe the Yanks might peel back too a little bit.
Yeah.
Those
are the teams that are the most aggressive, right? Every offseason. Oh, yeah. Like it seems like they've kind of
the one thing about those teams with kind of unlimited checkbooks is you notice how quiet they're being. They're kind of linked to like certain players. And I believe you're right. It goes one of two ways. It goes their mindset is, okay, well, we've lost out on Scherzer. We've lost out on Seager. We've lost out on whoever else down the ways. Is do we peel back and kind of just take a deep breath for a year or two and reset our feet? Or are they being quiet because they're getting ready to make a bigger splash that nobody knows about? Because I mean, teams that like this is – what's that?
I said there's one guy that's the big prize right now, and that's Carlos Correa, obviously.
Right. That's right. And it's like, is it a bidding war between the two of them? I don't know. I don't know that the Dodgers would ever sign him. I have no idea.
They should.
Trevor Story is another one that could fill the void in Los Angeles. Like, there are guys, there are premium players still out there. But
I mean,
I do like the idea that they are keeping it close to their vest and they're not really tipping their hand, because let me tell you, one team that didn't give a shit about tipping their hand was the Mets. They made it very clear what they were doing, who they were doing it to, and when they were doing it. And I mean, the tactic worked because he'll just outbid everybody. Right?
I like it.
That works. But when you got to be strategic, you can't just do that. You can't show your hand right out of the gate.
Dude, what about Seager? Texas making moves. Seager?
We've seen it a little bit with the Padres, you know, in the past where they came out and they're like, everyone's like, whoa, look at the moves. Like, bam, you bring in Manny, you sign Tatis, you bring in all these top dogs, and then it just doesn't work out.
Dude, I've been on teams where that doesn't work out. Like, you can't, you get too many superstars and egos in a room, it's a problem. Yeah. Right? And it's real. And I can't wait for the first conversation. Who's going to start opening day for the New York Mets? Jake DeGrom or Max Scherzer? Right? That's the conversation. Me? And now it becomes a story. Now,
Jacob DeGrom, 100%.
It's not even a conversation.
No, it's not even a conversation.
No, it's not even a conversation. That is the conversation. That's going to be the conversation. Hey, it hasn't been yet.
What about the Angels making moves? They got Lorenzen. They got Thor. Your boy Perry making some moves down there.
Yeah, Perry. Watch this team win. I'm telling you. Perry's got a knack. Yeah, I love Perry. He's got a knack. He's got the, like, he's got a set to, like, what the hell? Let's try it. See if it works. It's kind of Alex's mentality. And it work.
I did put in the request for Perry, Minnesota Angels GM, to come on the podcast. They said once things settle down during free agency, we can talk again. So
let's wait till the strike. We'll wait till the strike.
They're in good hands. Honestly, they're in good hands. He's slowly. What the thing is that it doesn't happen overnight. That team has a lot of money, like dead money. You know, a lot of dead money in certain guys that they invested in, and it just hasn't worked out. But I think he's slowly going to add pieces here and there. And I mean, it's going to be, I don't think it's a year thing. It's going to be a couple years maybe before he gets guys support in here and he gets what he wants.
Yeah. So hot stove reeking up. So next week we're going to do another podcast. And then after that, we're going to shut down for the rest of the year. Yeah.
Josh, does Freddie Freeman sign with the Braves again?
Ooh.
Yes. That's the Alex power move, dude. He'll wait him out. Freddie's not going to sign today, right? He'll ride him out. He'll tell Freddie, you love Atlanta. You've been here forever. You call me with the last number and we do it. Like, I guarantee you, like, in my mind, that's how that goes down. That's Alex. That's what Alex does. Alex is, he's a master of that, and he's so good at it, and he has that skill to be able to call Freddie to say, Freddie, listen, I know where you want to be.
He won't lose him to LA. Because the Dodgers have money.
I don't think he will.
Dodgers their first baseman.
I don't think he will. That's my take. I really don't.
I love that. All right, so housekeeping. December 7th is going to be our last podcast of the year. So next week, the Tuesday, we will have our last podcast of the year. Then after that, I got to shut down because I'm doing a bunch of different things running around so for the rest of the year. So then we'll be back after that, start of the year. And hopefully we got some news for you guys about the growth of the podcast. Continue to grow. Keep on going with you. The numbers have been good, man. So thank you guys so much for the support and the sharing it all over the world, especially our friends in Newfoundland and in the UK who have been watching us. So appreciate you guys checking out as always. So once again, thanks to everybody. Hope that was the Ricky Romero Baseball Camp. The Green Eye Bandit, Caesar, taking pictures for us. He's a great guy. But you know how there's always one thing wrong with somebody, Tolly, who's like super nice? There's always one thing wrong, right?
Yeah.
He has an Android. And when you have an Android phone, you just got to, So
you kicked him off the group text because it doesn't send it in blue?
Oh, he's not even in the group chat because he has an Android. He won't even consider him.
I respect that.
Hey, but shout out to him. He did a tremendous job with pictures and stuff like that. Again, everyone just volunteering their time on a Sunday morning and afternoon and stuff like that. I hope everyone enjoyed it. And thank you again to everyone involved. And we hope to continue to see it grow.
So we're going
to
grow. Thanks again. Totally. I'm not saying June 4th, but maybe June 4th, save the date.
June 4th, save the date.
I don't know what we're saving it for, but we'll just save the day, bro. We keep
Let's
on
save it.
Tolly, what are you up to this week? What are you like? You hunting? You like shoveling snow?
We got a little bit of snow out there, but I'll do a little hunting maybe Saturday. A couple soccer games this weekend. We have a Hanukkah party tomorrow.
Dude, how cold are those soccer games?
Well, they're indoor.
Oh,
soft.
Damn. Yeah, indoor.
Soft.
So you're damn right. You can call me whatever you want. I'm soft. You are exactly right.
Ricky, it was foggy this morning, man. It's a little cold.
Yeah, it's a little cold.
70? It's 70, cold. I got my park on. I got my Woolridge pull-ups on. You guys have no idea.
Hey, I'll be in, I'll be in Toronto in 2 weeks, and I heard it's down in like the 20s right now. So.
Oh, it's freezing. Are you there? How long? Oh, all right. Well, that's off air topic. Maybe we jaunt across the border or something.
We jaunt. All right, A. We'll see you guys next Tuesday. So for Ricky Romero and Josh Tolley, go make sure you check out the Ricky Romero Baseball Camp Instagram for all the information on what's going on with the camp and look at the picture. So see you guys. Been a pleasure. Adios, everybody.
Good job, boys.
See you guys.